Welcome to The Debate. So imagine spending $50,000 to drive 10,000 people into this beautiful showroom.
Okay, yeah.
They walk in, they look around, they pick up the brochures, maybe read them for an average of 3 minutes, and then every single one of them just walks out the door without buying a thing.
Right, which in physical retail, you would assume the store was haunted, or I don't know, the cash register was literally on fire.
Exactly. But in digital marketing, we just call that a Tuesday.
It really is the most maddening phenomenon in the whole industry. I mean, the dashboard gives you this sea of green metrics, right? The bounce rate is shockingly low. The time on page is fantastic.
But the call to action button remains entirely untouched. The cash register is completely silent.
Right. And the immediate reaction from the campaign owner is always to grab a wrench.
Oh, always. They assume something is mechanically broken right at the point of friction, usually the copy or the design. So they fiddle with the button color, you know, changing it from blue to high visibility orange, or they cut the copy in half to make it punchier.
And absolutely nothing moves. The needle stays completely flat.
Because the actual problem almost never gets named correctly. So today, we are grounding our discussion in a recent Dayclerk brief on audience strategy.
Which is a great brief. It unpacks behavioral signals and segmented traffic to explain exactly why these high traffic pages fail.
Right. It presents this fascinating diagnostic challenge that forces us to ask a really fundamental question. When a high traffic page fails to convert despite having strong engagement metrics, is it primarily a structural page failure or a targeting failure?
It is the defining tension of modern digital strategy. Did the right people arrive to a page that structurally failed to serve them? Or, you know, did the wrong people arrive entirely because the campaign misread their intent?
So to frame where we stand here, I argue that this is fundamentally a structural page failure. Marketers are attempting to serve diverse behavioral segments with a monolithic page that offends no one, but ultimately compels no one.
And I argue that this is primarily a targeting and intent failure. I mean, the gap between the click population and the conversion population is so wide that no amount of page structuring can convert someone who arrived purely out of curiosity.
Let me unpack my perspective here. When you look at the source material, the Dayclerk brief proves undeniably that the traffic is arriving and it is engaging.
Sure, the metrics show that.
Right. The failure is not that we brought the wrong human beings to the domain. The failure is that the page assumes a single unified audience exists, which is just a complete fiction.
Well, they treat distinct personas as one homogeneous group.
Exactly. You have a solo, self-reliant operator, a busy parent under time pressure, a discovery-driven deal seeker. Treating them as one group is exactly where conversion dies.
I get that, but...
Wait, let me just finish this thought. The structural mismatch happens because we are presenting a very relaxed, linear reading experience to people who have fundamentally different entry points and time constraints. You cannot serve a three-course meal to someone who sprinted in looking for a quick glass of water.
I understand the appeal of that logic. I really do. But the foundational premise of my position is this. Clicks are curiosity, not intent.
Interesting.
The very moment someone clicks an ad or a social media post, they have expressed an interest in a topic. They have not expressed an interest in an offer.
But they are on the page.
They are. But campaign owners almost never audit the massive gaping canyon between their click population and their conversion population.
Okay, fair point.
If a deal seeker clicks because your headline implied they might save money, or if a solo operator clicks simply because they are building a mental map of the industry, they are not a warm prospect. Changing the module order on your page will not magically manufacture buying intent that was never present to begin with.
Well, let's test that against the first specific audience segment identified in the brief, the solo, self-sufficient operator.
Ah, the classic researcher.
Right. This is someone who researches everything themselves and implicitly trusts their own judgment above all else. Marketers look at their low conversion rates from this segment and assume, oh, the copy isn't persuasive enough.
Which is a mistake.
It is. I see a structural failure. We are giving them a page designed to shortcut their research process with aggressive persuasion when they actually need a structure that respects their autonomy.
I come at it from a different way. If we look closely at the psychology of that solo, self-reliant operator, they are actually the perfect proof of the targeting thesis.
How so?
Because this person researches entirely on their own terms. The brief specifically notes that if they hit a page with high-pressure call-to-action buttons or aggressive social proof, their defense mechanisms trigger.
Right, they experience psychological reactance.
Exactly. They don't just fail to convert. They actively distrust the page because they feel manipulated. The ad brought in someone who is entirely in the evaluation phase. The instinct to fix the page to accommodate them is the more expensive mistake here.
But
targeting should weed this person out of a direct response conversion campaign entirely until they are further down the funnel and actually warm.
Wait, hold on. I'm not convinced by that line of reasoning at all. You are treating highly engaged, relevant traffic as a liability simply because they didn't convert on a fundamentally flawed page.
It is a liability if they don't buy.
Are you saying we should just exclude the solo operator completely? Isn't that just throwing away paid traffic that you've already successfully acquired?
I'm saying you are paying for traffic that has a near zero probability of taking the action you are measuring. That isn't throwing away traffic, that is stopping the bleeding on your ad spend.
Okay, but walk me through the math on why abandoning them is cheaper than just changing the page structure. Let's go back to the physical retail space for a second.
All right.
If a highly technical buyer walks into a hardware store looking for the tensile strength of a specific bolt, and a commissioned salesperson immediately jumps in front of them shouting about a buy one, get one free deal, that buyer is going to walk out.
Naturally.
But it's not because they didn't want the bolt. It's because the store layout actively hid the exact technical specifications those shoppers came to find and replaced it with a hard sell.
Okay, I see where you're going.
The solo operator doesn't need to be excluded from your campaign. They just need a different entry point. If the page prioritized substance over manipulative social proof, that solo operator would convert. The structure repelled them, not their lack of intent.
But you just highlighted the exact contradiction in your own argument. You literally just said they refused to be sold to.
In that specific way, yes.
A conversion campaign is, by definition, a mechanism of selling if they view testimonials, which are the very bedrock of standard conversion architecture, as a red flag, their behavioral intent does not align with a direct response click.
I wouldn't say that.
I would. They clicked out of curiosity. To restructure your entire conversion engine, stripping away the social proof that works for 80% of your audience just to cater to someone who's actively hostile to being converted is a massive misallocation of resources.
That's an interesting point, though I would frame it differently. You say they are hostile to being converted, but I say they are hostile to a specific structure of conversion. The friction isn't the offer, it's the delivery mechanism.
That's a very fine line to walk.
Maybe. But behavioral intent is inextricably linked to the structure we provide. And if we accept that the solo operator just needs breathing room, that strategy completely breaks down when the user's constraint isn't trust, but time.
Ah, you're bringing up the second segment from the brief.
Yes, the parent audience. This is a brilliant example because it represents a time scarcity problem entirely disguised as a messaging problem.
Right. The parent making value-based decisions under immense, unyielding time pressure.
Exactly. When a parent lands on a page, they might have a strict 5-minute window while the kids are eating breakfast. The friction isn't that they don't want the offer. They have the intent.
But the page is built for a relaxed, linear reading experience.
Which is terrible for them. It's like designing a massive, beautiful grocery store, but you put the milk at the very back to force people to walk past the bakery. That works for Sunday shoppers. But if a parent runs in at 8 p.m. for a gallon of milk, that friction doesn't make them buy bread. It makes them abandon the cart entirely.
That is true.
If the digital page doesn't surface the exact right answer instantly, they bounce. The structure assumed a luxury of time that simply did not exist. Therefore, module order and visual hierarchy matter just as much as word choice.
The failure is entirely structural.
That's a compelling argument. But have you considered that the context of the click itself dictates the intent?
How so?
Well, you're assuming the parent arrived with buying intent, but the source material gives us a critical piece of evidence here regarding what it calls behavioral signatures.
Right. And just so we are totally clear, when you say behavioral signature, we're talking about the digital footprints they leave before they even hit the page, right? Like knowing they came from a TikTok ad on an iPhone at midnight versus Google on a desktop.
Exactly. The combination of device, time of day, and referral channel creates a behavioral signature. And the brief points out that a parent clicking a Facebook post at 8 p.m. on a smartphone is fundamentally different from a solo operator doing a Google search at 11 a.m. on a desktop.
They are different, yes, but they both represent valid traffic entering the funnel.
Valid traffic, sure, but vastly different psychological states. If your campaign is driving mobile traffic at 9 p.m. to a complex, multi-step conversion page, that is a targeting and channel failure.
Because of their cognitive state?
Yes. They are exhausted, they are scrolling to decompress, you're asking for a high-friction action, pulling out a credit card, filling out 12 form fields in a low-attention environment.
But if you just shorten the form?
You can rearrange your modules all night long. You can put the buy button at the very top of the screen to save them time. But if you targeted an audience on mobile, on social media, at a time of day when they are just seeking dopamine, you are capturing curiosity. You are not capturing intent. You cannot hierarchy your way out of a fundamentally flawed targeting parameter.
I see the logic there, but you are viewing targeting as an exclusionary tactic, essentially saying, don't target them at 9 p.m. because they won't buy.
Because they usually don't.
But I am viewing it as an architectural mandate. If they arrive at 9 p.m. on mobile, structurally serve them what a 9 p.m. mobile visitor is capable of engaging with. Maybe that means swapping the hard conversion for a low-friction micro-commitment, like an email capture.
That's a different conversion goal entirely.
But it keeps them in the ecosystem. Because if we dismiss everyone who isn't sitting at a desktop with their credit card in hand, we leave a massive amount of revenue on the table.
Well, if we want to talk about revenue on the table, we have to talk about the visitors who are actively burning your ad spend. The brief highlights the discovery-driven deal seekers, which perfectly illustrates my point.
Yes. The conversion trap.
The ultimate conversion trap. I mean, you show up in your analytics looking exactly like highly engaged, warm visitors. They scroll all the way to the bottom. They spend 4 minutes on the page.
Sometimes they visit multiple times.
Right. The dashboard looks fantastic. But structurally, what is happening in their brain? Cognitively, they aren't looking for a solution to a problem. They are looking to win a game. They are strictly in comparison mode.
Yeah, they are hunting for a price table to see if they can find a bargain.
Exactly. And why do they spend 4 minutes on the page without converting? Because a page built for a warm prospect will never, ever convert someone whose sole psychological driver is finding a discount that doesn't exist.
Which is frustrating for the campaign manager.
Incredibly. If your page isn't giving them a benchmark to compare against, they physically cannot experience the satisfaction of finding a deal, so they leave. This is the absolute proof that we must debug targeting first.
I see why you think that, but let me give you a different perspective. It only becomes a conversion trap if you force them into the exact same monolithic structure as your warm prospect.
But building custom pages for every type of intent is impossible.
Right. I can hear campaign managers listening to this and panicking, thinking, am I supposed to build 5 different landing pages from scratch for every single campaign?
It sounds incredibly expensive and technically exhausting.
It does, but the brief points out a specific, concrete mechanic to solve this, and it doesn't involve abandoning the traffic. We're talking about URL parameter routing.
You're referring to dynamically changing the entry experience based on the click source.
Exactly. It's a low-lift, structural solution. Let me break down how this practically works, because it's brilliant. When a user clicks an ad, the link has a tiny piece of text at the end, a parameter.
Right, like a UTM tag or something similar.
Yes, and the server reads that parameter before the page even loads and swaps specific modules. A tool like Dayclerk generates these segmented variants and routes visitors to the right version at the point of the click.
Okay, I follow you.
And actually, before I get into the specific routing logic, I should mention that for listeners who want to implement this exact kind of structural routing, there is a new free marketing guide available. It helps you build and launch high-performing marketing campaigns. You can find it at dayclerk.ai/playbook2026.
A great resource. Powerful architectural tool, no doubt.
It is. Because mechanically, think about what it achieves. If your ad promises a comparison, the parameter routes that specific click to the variant where the hero image is replaced by a hard-hitting competitor breakdown and a price table.
So the deal seeker gets to play their game immediately.
Exactly. Conversely, if the click comes from the solo operator's highly technical search query, the parameter routes them to a variant that strips out the emotional testimonials and leads with raw data. This is a link structure decision made before the campaign even goes live.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
I appreciate the utility of a guide like that. And as I said, the mechanics of URL routing are fascinating. But it is just execution. It does not solve the root issue.
How does it not solve the issue? It serves the right page.
Because even the most sophisticated URL parameter routing in the world will not save a campaign if the marketer hasn't first done the hard analytical work of diagnosing who actually arrived. You cannot route traffic effectively if you don't understand the behavioral signatures we talked about earlier.
But the parameter is the behavioral signature.
Only if you've correctly mapped the intent behind the click. The routing is a silver bullet for a structural problem, sure, but it is garbage in, garbage out if you have a targeting problem.
I think you're overestimating how clean human behavior is.
The strategy still relies on understanding that the intent of the click is paramount. If they click looking for a 50% off bargain and your business model does not allow for discounts, routing them to a dynamically generated deal seeker page won't magically convert them. The targeting brought in a fundamentally incompatible intent.
But you cannot perfectly silo human beings in the ad manager. The solo operator might click a broad industry ad. The busy parent might click a retargeting ad on their phone while distracted. What you can control is the structural reality they land in.
I agree you have to accommodate reality, but my argument is that marketers consistently misinterpret the reality of the click. They look at the high time on page and assume, they want to buy, they just didn't like the button color.
Which we both agree is a dangerous, expensive assumption.
Extremely. The reality is that browsing behavior looks remarkably similar to buying behavior in the first 60 seconds. An audience that isn't ready to buy shouldn't be asked to buy, regardless of how neatly we've arranged the furniture in the room they walked into.
So let's bring this down to brass tacks. If a campaign owner is staring at their dashboard tomorrow morning, seeing the traffic flowing in but seeing zero conversions, what is your primary diagnostic mandate?
My mandate is to stop rewriting the copy, step away from the page editor, and ask a deeply uncomfortable question: did this traffic ever possess buying intent in the first place? I would audit the gap between the click population and the conversion population. Debugging has to start by interrogating the targeting and the context of the click.
And my mandate would be, before you touch a single word of your headline, look at the behavioral signatures of your traffic and ask if your page structure actively repels them. Are you forcing a cynical, self-reliant operator to wade through emotionally manipulative testimonials? You must use tools like URL parameter routing to meet the specific behavioral expectations of the person using that channel.
It seems we are arriving at a shared truth, even if we are prioritizing different ends of the diagnostic process.
I think that's fair. We are looking at the same data through entirely different lenses.
But we both agree unequivocally based on the Day-Clark material that the absolute worst thing a marketer can do is assume low conversions are the result of weak copy. A/B testing superficial elements is entirely useless if you have not audited the behavioral signatures of your traffic.
Precisely. Point hacking these behavioral segments reveals the true hidden complexity of campaign architecture. It's not just about what you say. It's about how the structure of the page respects the psychology of the visitor.
It really does challenge the conventional wisdom of digital marketing. The dashboard tells you a story of engagement, but it entirely leaves out the context of that engagement.
It brings us right back to that opening analogy. The showroom looks beautiful, the people are walking in, but maybe we aren't dealing with a product problem at all. Maybe we hid the cash register behind a maze of promotional banners. We'll leave it to our listeners to decide which end of the funnel they will debug first on their next campaign. Thank you for joining us on The Debate.